Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
And that's exactly where we're going now. We have this feature Thursday going into Friday morning, and we're going to be talking hopefully to Michael, and we can't get Michael right now, but we have got Aurora. Hello, Aurora.
Hi. Nice to be with you. I wanted to say that Michael is on standby. We did get through to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you that number once again. You might have the wrong number.
No, Jonathan spoke to him on a regular basis, so he spoke to him before. But not to worry. He's trying and trying and trying. We've got you.
That's so odd, because we just got through to him on the other line. Hold on a second.
Bill, ask Jed if we can use her number for the show.
This is live radio.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get you a second line in that case.
No, not to worry. We're going to talk to you because we are live. You do realize that.
That's right.
Right, fine. Who is Aurora?
Well, you mean who am I?
Yeah.
Well, I have been involved in this work of UFOs, extraterrestrial contact, most of my adult life.
And sorry, can I interrupt you a second? We've got Michael as well. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, we were just trying to get hold of you, and Aurora's on the line. So, Aurora and Michael, we've both got you now, so we can now continue.
Great.
I've just asked Aurora, who is Aurora, and she's just telling us. So I interrupt you. I do apologize, Aurora. Please start again.
Okay, well, I'm the co-author of Prepare for the Landing. It's a book that Michael Elejean and myself have co-authored. My name is Aurora Light, and people can find us at prepareforthelandings.com. And what we do is educate people on the fact that we are not alone, that we are having contact with human-appearing, advanced, spiritually advanced, extraterrestrials who have been safeguarding this planet to a large degree for a long, long time, many thousands of years, really.
You say safeguarding. They're not making a very good job of it.
Well, why do you say that?
The problem is we're not making a very good job of it.
But if they're a bigger being and they've got a bigger, if they're more intelligent than us, surely they should help us and sort us out.
Oh, sir, actually they've been intervening behind the scenes a lot. It's only because of mankind's folly and one for power that keeps screwing everything up down on this planet.
But they've got a bigger, or they're bigger than us, so surely they
But they don't want to force stuff down our throats either. There's a Federation policy that they can't force up on us. We have to be worthy for them to intervene. Now, there are a lot of people doing a lot of things that's going to speed up this process a little more, but they've made it very clear, come down on a military basis, shut down their nuclear equipment, tell them, quit your nuclear thing, but humanity doesn't seem to get that message very clearly.
Well, shouldn't they then become more serious about it, especially with the situation in Japan right now?
Well, they're not going to be like...
But I think we've gotten a huge wake-up call for the planet there in Japan. You know, Cheney and a lot of them have been pushing nuclear power down our throats over here in the United States. They want us to have a nuclear power plant on every corner. And with, you know, perhaps Wormwood or Planet X, whatever you want to call it, coming through, Nibiru. Yeah, our sun's dwarf sister sun that comes through our planetary solar system every 3,760 years has been carbon dated at the North and South Pole. The result of it passing through, sometimes depending on where we are in the solar system when it passes through, it can be great upheaval on planet Earth. Exodus in the Bible was the last time it came through, and the time before that was Noah.
Michael,
there?
You want to come in?
Well, yeah, this is, personally, I think that Mother Earth does need a good facelift every now and then when humanity gets a little corrupted and ignores some of the higher spiritual teachings that different masters came here before they created religious dogmas. I think that they've been doing a lot to influence us in a benevolent way, but we have a lot of people on this planet, power elite types, who don't seem to respect you know, the sovereignty of sanity, and that's been a problem. So they are going to be openly intervening, hence our book, Prepare for the Landings, that does give an overview of why they're going to be intervening, all the details about it. And a lot of people, I'm connecting with so many hundreds of people getting email, phone calls who've gotten the same message because our book goes a little more into detail. I just had a trucker email me who had big rainbow ships come down, fly even with his truck, and verify what was in the book by making up and down motions of yes and versus no going to the side. So it's a lot of confirmation.
Yes, I have that happen all the time, too. I'll see ships, and I'll say, can you communicate with me? And if you can, go up and down for yes and side to side for no. And they'll start moving like a pendulum would or something. It's amazing. So they are trying to get the message to us that we do have to work diligently to rein in our leaders who seem to be determined to create havoc.
Michael, why did you call them rainbow ships?
Because they do reflect vast rainbow colors. Sometimes what looks like a bright, colorful star, but then a night or two later when it's not there, and stars don't move around the sky that fast, they're actually reflecting different actual colors of the rainbow. People see them move back and forth. They will reflect and amplify these types because they're called rainbow ships or Merkaba, light ships of the Federation of Light. And they're working on the grid, working on various things to make the transition a lot smoother for us. But they do appear that way, as well as saucer-shaped lenticular clouds that meteorologists refer to, which appear in many different places. I've seen them there, and working also on some of the chemtrail stuff that has been going on over the planet, trying to mitigate some of that damage.
Let me ask Aurora first to tell me, when did you first get interested in this?
I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old when I had my first experience in Royal Oak, Michigan. And that's when I saw two spaceships that were in the park across the street from my home, and a human-appearing extraterrestrial walked through my home. And I knew then that it was real, that it was something way beyond what I was being told by the mainstream media or in school. I knew then that there was a reality beyond what was in the newspapers that I was reading.
And how did people react to you when you told them this about the spaceships?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, most people were just dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say or do when I tried to share the information with them. So I kept pretty quiet about it and told a few people, but not many, until I met Michael. And then he helped put together all the pieces of the puzzle. And for the last over two decades, Michael and I have been sharing this information with people worldwide. We were on many of the shows there in Great Britain back in the 80s. And we've gone around the world sharing this information with many people, thanks to the Internet and shows like yours.
And let me ask Michael the same question. When did you first get interested, and what was the first experience?
Well, as I share in our book, my first experience was at 6 years of age when I grew up in a little town called Vista by a town called Oceanside. We were out on the pier. I ended up falling off the pier. In the process of falling off the pier into the ocean, these human-appearing ETs beamed me aboard, literally physically beamed up my physical body. I was back in what I remember, even from the time of birth, in an environment that I have actual memory of. These were human-appearing beings that were intervening because I was a little traumatized, and they intervened to take away the trauma, because it was sometimes when we have trauma, we shut down and can't express ourselves in the way we should. So that was a personal intervention that set the stage for a lot of other things later on.
Explain more about the intervention, what you remember from it.
Well, it's me. I got up in a dangerous position on the railing and proceeded to, and fell off the pier. And in the process of falling off, one moment I'm falling, next moment suddenly I'm back, what I call my home environment. And these beings that were surrounding me, dressed in silver blue metallic suits, had they been dressed in Earth clothes, you would have thought they were the average good-looking person down here. But it was their incredible love, the concern they were showing. I felt connected with them. And basically what they did, as they said, was take away my trauma. They actually had this thing that merged out of the wall on this cable and flashing rainbow-colored lights. And what they were doing, I realized later, was realigning my chakras. that is related to the fact we have seven main energy centers in our body. And there are different color frequencies associated with those, so they were using a cosmic healing technique to bring it into balance. And I teach these techniques about color meditation and things to people as well, but they were using a form of consciousness technology to bring balance back into my physical body. Now, to me, I'm back in my home environment. I didn't want to come back. I remember saying goodbye to these beings, and they basically very soon informed me that they were going to have to send me back because I had a mission to fulfill. Understood that. I remember being in the council. This was a fulfilling of a promise prior to coming into human embodiment that there would be intervention when I had these moments, and this would be one of the many experiences that would verify not only my memories I had carried with me, but that intervention would occur eventually also in a mass physical planetary. Mass divine intervention would occur, which is what our book, Prepare for the Landings, at preparefortthelandings.com goes into.
Tell me how adults reacted to you telling people this, or did you not bother?
Well, I didn't share that. I was very quiet as a child. It wasn't until I got a little older and started, you know, talking about some of this reality, even though there was still a lot of skepticism. It wasn't until actually the late 70s when I started becoming a lot more vocal. And at that point, there had began to be a lot of people who began to wake up, and I started connecting with fellow, you know, researchers and people who, unlike many of the names in the UFO community, sometimes it seems that there's a bias toward certain types of contacts. But I started meeting a lot of other people who also had had contacts and who had channeled, you know, communicated with the higher forces. And I was also trained in the Edgar Cayce method of channeling originally, which was a part of, I do these transformational life readings for people to tune them into, you know, their mission. If you go to channelforthemasters.com, you will see a list of characteristics called the NASA Star People Characteristics. This list I was actually told about when I was taken aboard the second time in 1979, that it would come up on a list that would help to identify many like myself that are volunteers in Earth Embodiment and Aurora. And I find a large number of people relate to these, those who connect with me. So there is an awakening going on all over the planet, and a lot of information becoming available that helps people tune into this reality. And that's one of the things Aurora and I do.
Did you two find each other?
Well, I was lecturing at Arizona State University on the subject of UFOs and ET contact. She and I connected, and she started sharing her experiences, and I was able to help give some clarity to many of the other things that she and I both discuss in our book, Prepare for the Landings, which gives you an overview of why there's going to be intervening.
Did you question each other, Aurora?
Well, it was really interesting because I was told I was living in Michigan, and I was kind of fed up with my lifestyle, which was pretty much just going to a lot of very nice parties and going to openings and art and music and things like that. And I lived a very nice, privileged lifestyle, but there was something missing, and that was a deeper meaning and purpose to my life. And I remember I started praying. I said, please, God, I don't want to live a wasted life. Please show me what my deeper meaning and purpose is to life. And then shortly thereafter, I was told my mission in Detroit was over. It was time for me to go to Phoenix, Arizona, where I would meet Michael, and we would begin educating the world on some things. And I was just so flabbergasted by the message, I had to do it. And when I went there, shortly afterwards, I connected with Michael at ASU, as he said, and we began sharing the reality of these beings who you would definitely want them in your life as friends, as neighbors. They have, you know, incredible amount of compassion, sensitivity, intelligence, you know, it's spirituality. They're a great mixture. And they're not control freaks like the, you know, like what we have here on planet Earth with our leaders trying to control us rather than carrying out our bidding as they should be doing.
I've got to ask, You paint a great picture of some very nice creatures or whatever they are. So why?
They're not creatures, that's for sure.
Well, what
they're
are
beings,
they?
Elohim. The Elohim.
They are advanced Elohim masters.
And who gave you the name Elohim?
Well, Elohim, they call themselves Elohim, and it's also referenced in the Bible about them.
So are you saying they speak English?
They can. They use translation devices.
They can easily speak English.
Sorry?
They can easily speak English, any language.
Right. So why don't they show themselves to more people?
They have shown. We've been connecting with all kinds of people since we've been doing this work who have had kinds of contacts. It's just the corporate control media doesn't really want to give any recognition to beings who might threaten the staff corporations and
They could do a lot more in that arena of showing themselves on a more open way, but they're not here to create chaos on this planet. And they are here to be our salvation if needed. And they know that they are going to be needed. They're in guardian action. I have seen them. I write about it in my book with Michael, Prepare for the Landings, that I have seen them in guardian action around this planet. And I've had other witnesses with me when this occurred. And they are literally thousands upon thousands of ships in the fourth and higher dimension surrounding this planet right now, what is called the Ashtar Command. And should they have to intervene for any reason, they will. And at night, you can see them with their night vision goggles with the wars that are taking place right over our heads.
You're telling me we could see thousands upon thousands of ships up there now?
You
can't see thousands of them, but you can see a war going on in space. Some of them come down into the third dimension, and some of them appear, I should say, in the third dimension, but it is a lower frequency. That's what I meant by that. And they appear in this lower frequency, and they do go to battle with some of the renegade ships out there.
Why are they bothered with us? Why do they bother with us when there are a million galaxies out there and a million planets? Why us?
Well, Earth is kind of like the, it's had a lot of problems. It has a spiritual destiny. Earth was seeded here by human-appearing beings, the Elohim, because it's what would be termed a karmic training school, where less advanced beings, less evolved, in the great cosmic cycles, there has to be a place for them without slowing down the rest of the higher realms. So Earth was set up. The problem was that after the laggards, as they've been called, less advanced souls, came here, a group called the Draconians came here and started manipulating humanity using mind control and genetic manipulation, and that's when the Federation came into an existence to balance out this. There was a war in the heavens. It's biblically described as the Luciferian Rebellion. There's another term for one of the beings who thought he could do anything he wanted to without adhering to the higher laws of balance.
So, those of us who are here as volunteers in Earth embodiment, and there are many hundreds of thousands here in Earth embodiment around the planet. We're told about 13-14% of the world's population are volunteers right now in Earth embodiment. And, Michael's a direct voice channel since he's been a little boy. His father was into spirituality and metaphysics, and he was a stage hypnotist, professional hypnotist on stage. He could put 50 people under within 5 minutes. And Michael grew up in that very avant-garde home, who, when his father recognized that he had these abilities, he worked with Michael, and by the time Michael was 15 years old, he was doing readings for people up and down the West Coast of the United States and by word of mouth. And he is an incredible direct voice channel, and people get private sessions with him, and they get tuned into their mission, their purpose, and future opportunities coming up for them, so they can much more consciously take advantage of these opportunities.
Let me bring Michael in there and ask about this. What is direct life channel, Michael?
Well, first of all, the higher masters channel through me. I'm like a cosmic telephone, and beings like Ashtar and Archangel Michael, Saint Germain will come through. Ashtar usually comes in first, because he's in charge of Earth missions for those that are termed volunteers. As I said, when you take a look at that NASA Stir People list, characteristic list, at channelforthemasters.com. I invite your audience to take a look at it, and I'm sure many of them will discover that they, too, are very much connected with it. But a session I do is 90 minutes, and when Ashtar is coming through me, and with the women, the goddesses, the ladies, the commanderesses up there also will come through because they represent equal to the male polarity, and they give clarity about the mission. Now, while they're speaking through me, a very interesting process happens. There's an actual energy beam from the Merkaba, the light ship, and they're downloading a thing called higher light encodements, which is part of the Elohim consciousness technology. So when you play the tape back of the session, to proportionate to how much you desire to embrace your potential, because it's kind of like the old God helps us to help themselves principle, proportionate to that is how much the encodements will activate. They are designed to activate DNA, RNA, open up your synaptic centers, and cause quite a transformation so that you, too, can start connecting a little more. But it's basically focused on your mission and what you can do to accomplish it.
When Michael did the reading for me first time, I was so shocked by it. I couldn't even believe it, that anyone could give me such incredible information that was so relevant to my life, that I actually had him do 200 people, I just little quickies on them as we were. We were driving on our way up to Mount Shasta, and I said, I kept asking them from Arizona to Mount Shasta, California, and I kept saying, tell me about this person, tell me about that person, tell me about this one. And he would just give me a few lines about each one, and they were so right on, so dead right on. I was just amazed that anybody could do that, and that was, you know, 30 years ago, and since then, I'm still amazed all the time by the information he brings through.
So what do you use it for? What's the purpose?
I'm sorry, what?
What is the purpose of it? What do you use it for?
Purpose of doing these help people understand their mission, why they're here, they came and volunteered to be an Earth embodiment.
Why would they pick you?
Well, I picked it myself. I think before we come into Earth embodiment, we kind of write a life script. We throw in some free will, but we also have a destiny. If we choose to embrace our potential, is what these sessions help people tune into, then we will be able to help uplift the planet, transform it, get rid of all the pain, suffering, and bring in the golden age. That's the ultimate goal.
With the greatest respect, and I mean this, you say that you could help change the planet, but people will not believe you because they'll think you're talking absolute garbage. So what do you say to them?
Well, that's your, you've just...
No, I didn't,
meet.
I just...
Yeah, no, the people we meet, sir, don't have that reaction or they're not drawn to us. So I don't deal with people who it's going to be a waste of time. I want to help people. I want to empower them. But it has to be a win-win. Life's a two-way street. So you have a right to be skeptical, but we're just sharing.
I'm not skeptical. I'm asking you what other people would say. No, I'm not, this
well,
is
I'm
not
telling
me.
You,
well, you know, usually, I would just like to answer that, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
We usually don't lecture to people or do seminars or people who are attuned to this information are the ones that respond.
Right.
Not people who aren't. They're not the ones we're talking to.
But aren't they? I thought you were trying to put the message out to everybody.
Well those that went out in the world.
People who aren't listening.
Right.
You know,
not
you can
waste
only talk
time.
To people who have the ability to open their minds enough and be able to absorb higher information. When you're completely programmed by the mainstream media to the point that you can't even think for yourself, then you got some problems there.
Mm-hmm.
So with your thoughts and with your information, have you had problems with governments trying to stop you?
Oh, they've tried to off me, actually, a number of times, but they've intervened and protected us. You know, we can tell you a number of incidents that, you know, where they tried to kill us, and we're still alive because we have some good backup.
So they protect
you. There was numerous times, for example, I walked into an elevator in Detroit in a hotel, and there were two men standing there, or was it three? Yeah, three men, excuse me, standing there. And they were talking about me, and they couldn't see me. I was made invisible by them. And they were, they didn't even know I was standing there with them in the elevator. When I got off at my floor, they didn't even see me get off. They didn't act like I was present at all. And afterwards, I said to Michael, I said, the CIA was talking about me on the elevator, and they didn't even know I was there. I said, how could that be? And so he did a little channel, and he says, well, they're saying, telling me they're right upstairs from us in a room above us, and that they didn't even know you were there in the elevator. You were made invisible.
Well, yeah, this being named Monka, Commander Monka, who came through and basically he kind of introduced himself through me, representing the Federation Light. He said to the agents, basically, because he knew they were overhearing, honoring what we were saying, what he was saying, and he said, I want to introduce myself to the agents in the room. He said, we're very loving, peaceful beings in the Federation, but we don't want our emissaries being harassed. In other words, interfered with, screwed with anyway that would stop their missions. But, of course, they always like to test that out sometimes to see if that's true. And so there have been some incidents like this that basically there's been a lot of forces on this planet who are threatened by giving up their power and allowing humanity to be benefited, like, for example, technologies that should energy emancipate us, could solve our environmental problems. We don't have to be driving around in combustion vehicles polluting the atmosphere. We don't have to use nuclear power plants. That's a good point we made earlier. There's better technology that's been highly suppressed, like the works of Nikola Tesla. So this is the major point, that we have a chance now, after this nuclear situation, to start, you know, being a little more responsible. I hope that some people get that message and will demand the world leaders to come around. And, you know, this is just a major point right now.
We need to dismantle our nuclear power plants before Planet X comes in any closer, that's for sure. If we have any, already asteroids have been increasingly plummeting to Earth, and that's a sign that it might be coming closer. It was what the Chinese call in, you know, the red dragon that's on all their flags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
Planet X. It looks like a red dragon in the sky.
We spoke to Richard last week about star seeds. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes, star people, star seeds, that's another term. Brad Steiger did some work with NASA engineers and scientists, and that's how he came up with the original list in the late 70s, wrote a book called Star People. And then I was told when I was physically on board the Merkaba light ship in 79 that I was told by this being named Corton, who's a communications specialist up there, that I was going to come upon this list. And 2 months later, I saw that list for the first time in the old East-West Journal, ended up and eventually put that on the website, because that is a physiological reference point to a lot of other people. They look at the list and go, oh, my God, I've got some of these, and that helps to identify them. They are connected with this reality.
Richard informed me last week.
In other words, they are.
Excuse me interrupting you. Richard informed me last week that I was a starseed.
Yes. I couldn't be sure about that, but Michael could verify that. I do know this. Those of us who are volunteers here in Earth Embodiment, we're here and desire very deeply to uplift this planet. That's the reason we're here. We always have a desire to make things better and try and make things better wherever we go and whatever we can do. And when you're a volunteer here in Earth Embodiment, you're always trying to make things the way you figure divine will would like to have them. Let's put it that way.
Michael, what do you want people to take from your book?
Well, I think that the book is excellent in the sense that, I tell people this, I like to give God and the spiritual hierarchy most of the credit. I just try to keep myself a clear channel, that the book is an important contribution to prepare humanity. That looks like the title, Prepare for the Landings. Tell people understand that this book explains why they're going to be making a mass appearance and help people.
And why the rapture is about to occur.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually called the rapture by the mainstream religious crowd. And, you know, various things in various religions. But
I was going to ask that anyway. Where does religion fit into your life, or doesn't it fit into your life?
Well, what I was going to say is they all tie in together. All the different major religions tie in at this one point, that they do think there will be a divine intervention. And they do think that, you know, those who live righteous lives, or try to at least, to uplift the planet, will be given an opportunity to graduate off this planet, make their ascension, and live in the higher, what we call, heavenly world.
What do they think, Michael? What do they say happens when we die?
Well, first of all, there are you know, three types of people on the planet we have to understand from this perspective. There are those of us who are volunteers in Earth embodiment, then there's the masses, and then there's a group of power elite. But for those of us who are the volunteers, usually when we pass over, we go back aboard the ships. We actually have an immortal light body on storage there. When most of the masses pass over, they usually go to the other side, to the spirit world, because they've been on the wheel of karma. But that wheel of karma is coming to a close. So there is a different sense of where we're from, our origin. And so that's something that the people I usually do sessions with, the transformational channel readings, are usually volunteers in Earth embodiment, because they're the ones drawn to this reality. And then there's others who channel discarnate entities. But when higher beings come through, they don't take energy from me like the popularity of discarnate entities. Instead, higher beings give me energy. That's what I teach in my channeling classes also, that higher beings, unlike spirit guides, they give me energy rather than taking it from me. And so it's a different kind of physiological process when they're communicating.
Well, a lot of people when they pass on, they go to a, like, more the astral plane, but the volunteers
right.
here in Earth embodiment go to a higher, what is called the causal plane. And then the Luciferian incarnates who are here, which many of them seem to be able to manipulate the circumstances so they gain a lot of power and wealth, but at the expense of many suffering people. Those people who are living those imbalanced types of lifestyles, they have to go to more karmic training school. they're not allowed onto the higher realms.
Tell me, are the relationships within these beings, people, whatever they are?
Oh, yes. As they have families, just like we talk about family down here, well, I would refer to them as our extended cosmic family, beings and forces that have been connected with us. I think everybody on the planet, in fact, Ashtar has said this, who channels through me all the time, that everyone I'll connect with, he has crossed paths with, either in the councils or millions of years ago, and he says there's no strangers but friends reconnecting, because a million years is like not that long, really, compared to the, you know, long, drawn-out sense of time here. So we have a lot of beings who care about us, and that's why they want to, you know, they're promoting to lift the planetary quarantine to help us understand how many beings out there really love us and care about us, and it's part of our cosmic family.
Would it be good for, I mean, we've got a million listeners on this late-night program. It's a huge, huge program. Wouldn't it be good for somebody like Ashtar to come through on a program of this? Wouldn't it help?
I don't usually channel in this way. I do it in a personal, the readings I set up. I take this work very seriously, and I feel it's, I keep it to that kind of area because of, you know, I can say that some, you know, the messages I do get sometimes, and that what I would say is that this is an opportunity to help people understand what's coming up on the planet, and these opportunities of doing, you know, news, doing shows like this helps to prepare humanity in one way, and then of course the book gives them more detail about things that they want to, you know, allow. But it's also up to humanity to be prepared psychologically and be ready for this. And that's the whole point. If people allow themselves psychologically, let go of a lot of their material attachments and conditions, I think that's the message they want to convey this evening, is that people need to be psychologically at least open. You need to use your discernment, but the fact that there's people who care about us. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? And I just wanted to add here that even the Pope has come out and said that belief in extraterrestrials does not negate belief in God.
Well, the Vatican astronomer specifically
said that.
There are brothers.
There we go.
Yeah.
You see, the only thing I can't get my head around, and there's a lot of things I can't get my head around, but I'm certainly open to it, but I don't understand why they can't, with the power they have, come on, why would they channel their ideas through you when they can come on now, or, forget this show, the bigger picture, they could take over and set up their own station to tell us exactly what we're doing wrong.
Well, actually, you know what? Actually, in 1977... in November 20th, I believe it was, and maybe I'm wrong on the date, a thing called The Voice from Space came over the BBC, and I have a written copy of it. Now, the BBC later tried to say it was just college students pirating their signal, yet by law, it's called test insertion signals, that for 5.5 minutes, if somebody should blaspheme or revolutionary should break in, they could shut it down. BBC did not know that this 5.5-minute transmission was overtaking their signal. People heard it in their homes.
They couldn't do anything to block it.
Right.
The BBC had no ability to block the signal, and the five-minute signal and the five-minute message was about Earthlings, you better get your act together, you know?
And it was a nuclear message about getting rid of nuclear weapons. And now they tried to say, oh, that was just college students. But again, the point is they didn't know they were being overcome, and college students would not have had the ability to tap in as these beings were able to do and shut the whole system down in the sense of the
Then they appeared over the White House as well, that was in all the newspapers. What year was that, Michael?
Well, in July 19th, 1952, and then repeated a week later on the 26th. Now, what's fascinating about that, Ashtar, when he first channeled through a contactee on July 18th, it was actually the 19th they appeared, 18th, coming to George Van Tassel, part of history, and said they were going to put on a benevolent show of force to make it clear to the officials. 24 hours later, they came down, go to the archives, see the headlines, flying saucers over the Capitol building, flying saucers over the White House. And it wasn't until 2 years later, because of all the bureaucratic red tape, they landed at Edwards Air Force Base, even though officially the story is that President Eisenhower was at the dentist taking care of a tooth cap problem. This was February 20th, 1954. And I've talked to numerous people who knew, have done research, and it was verified that he was actually there at Edwards Air Force Base, meeting with the human-appearing Federation beings, landed on the tarmac at Edwards. They presented an opportunity for them to transform this planet if they would relinquish the thermal nuclear war as a gesture of peace and tell everybody what the options were. The problem was that national security... Yeah.
What do you think about Area 51?
I think Michael summed it up very well, you know, that it's a place where a lot of dastardly deeds are cooked up from what we hear from Bob Lazar and others, and it's not a friendly place. It's a place where secret black op type projects take place that are unbeknownst to us. Occasionally information leaks out. But I haven't heard of, you know, people are flown in from Los Angeles into the base and from Nevada, from Las Vegas into the base, and they're driven in buses with blacked out windows and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So, you know, it makes you think that whatever's going on there can't be good.
What is life like on their planets?
Oh, that's an interesting question. According to what Michael and I remember and perceive, life there was very beautiful, serene, ran very smoothly, was a lot of fun, joyful, opportunity for people to express their creativity and get involved in the running of their planets. And from what I recall, it was a republic. On Orion, where Michael and I are from. Michael, and so much more I could tell you. I mean, I remember the cities being made out of crystal, beautiful colors, and my swimming pool with gorgeous flowers floating on top, and beautiful aromas, and a robot that had a great sense of humor, and so on and so forth, you know?
So tell us about the website.
Well, the website, prepareforthelandings.com, which gives an overview of the book, and there's also some great DVDs there, too, that can teach you how to channel. It gave one that's called The Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, which is a great workshop that I do to kind of introduce people to some of our friends who are literally in high places off the planet, part of the Federation and spiritual hierarchy. And then Dynamics of Cosmic Telepathy is also a great DVD teaching people how they can communicate clearly with our friends upstairs. And of course the main focus is the book, because the book is, I kind of refer to it as the boarding pass. It really does give you some great clarity, answers a lot of your questions, helps to get more physiologically attuned to it. And then channelforthemasters.com describes some of my background and how I was trained as a channel, and a little bit about, show some of the beings, the images of the beings, so people have some understanding of who these beings are. So I think it helps people kind of get more attuned to this reality that we meet so many people all the time who are attuned to it.
I'm just curious. We mentioned a couple times some of the things the government was doing, such as the chemtrails. Are your listeners concerned about the chemtrails?
They've talked about it. Yeah, they've talked about it. And we have an area down here, which is just, I'm in a tower looking over the River Mersey, and to my left-hand side, right down there, there's a place called Widnes and Warrington, and there's a lot of activity down there that they're always concerned about.
Yes, the chemtrails are a huge concern to us all who know what's going on. I mean, they're spraying live viruses, live funguses, and molds and stuff that if you don't keep a good diet going, it can easily take you down because they attach themselves, you know, into your system, your blood and things. So what we do is we recommend that people eat a certain way and take some things like KM that oxygenates your blood, detoxifies it. It'll, you know, things that you can do at healthgalleria.com to take care of your body so you're not dependent on, you know, pharmaceuticals and surgery and things like that that are much more detrimental to your health than just keeping yourself healthy on your own. So that's what we recommend, that people become like their managers of their own health and take responsibility by keeping their bodies and their minds and their spirits at the highest level they can, which will serve them in the long run much better than anything, you know. So,
Sorry, I've got to go. I've got to finish shortly because the program's actually coming to an end. What I'd say to you briefly, if I could ask Michael first, what do you think is going to happen with the situation with Japan? But very briefly.
Well, I think that whatever does occur, the higher forces will be stepping in. I have lots of evidence that back in Chernobyl that the higher forces intervene, and I think they're intervening here, and they will always do it. It's also up to the humans to take more responsibility, which will give the higher forces more mandated authority to step in and make it more of a win-win for us all. I don't think we have to go through these things. If humans are smart enough and do new technologies that are available, we can energy emancipate ourselves. I think humans need to really take a look at this and give this as a new chance to change things.
Very briefly, Aurora, because I have got to go to the news.
Well, I just think that what we're going to see next is going to be proof, like we did in the Gulf, the damage there that was done in the Gulf, and how much the extraterrestrials have done. People have seen the ships come in and work on cleaning up that mess there in the Gulf. And also, I think we're going to see some kind of higher intervention that's going to be taking place in the future. I think we're going to see something that'll wake us up to the fact that we do have friends upstairs and they do care about us. So I think some bigger things are on the way.
Aurora Lights and Michael Elgeon, thank you so much for joining us. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And don't forget, all those details are on our website.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.